this morning. It's a blessing. I'll be in Exodus chapter 20 this morning. But I also want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22 and hold your finger there, and we'll actually look at several verses of Scripture this morning, so keep your Bible handy, and we'll look at several verses and try to give you what the Lord's give us. So, Matthew chapter 22, Exodus chapter 20, and we'll read one verse in Exodus 20. And so I will not ask you to stand. We'll just read one verse of Scripture, and then we'll give you our thought this morning. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And so that's what we're preaching on this morning, on the fifth commandment in God's law: honor thy father and thy mother. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have already been prayed, and Lord, for the good songs that have been sung and the good fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that we have got the opportunity one more time to be in your house and, Lord, to be able to worship you and, Lord, just to be able to experience the blessings, Lord, of being old-time Christians. And, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word and giving us a Bible. Thank you, Lord, for how we've already heard it taught this morning. And, Father, I pray that you'd help us now as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, that, Lord, you'd make preaching easy and you would give us good liberty. Help us, Lord, to recall the things we've studied and what you've given us. I pray that you would, Lord, just set a watch over our lips, that we'd not say anything that would grieve the Spirit of God this morning, but, Lord, we would say exactly what you would have us to say, nothing more, nothing less. And, Lord, I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts, draw us close to you, and, Lord, help us, Lord, to receive from you what you would have us to receive. But all that's done, we'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory for it's in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. So we've been preaching on Sunday mornings through the law, the moral law of God, looking at the Ten Commandments. And we finished up last week, or week before really, finished up preaching the first four commandments, which is commonly known as the first table. And if you remember, you've kind of got that division in the Ten Commandments where you've got the first four, which are known as the first table. And then you've got the last six, which are known as the second table. And so this morning we'll begin the second table of commandments. The biggest difference in the two tables, the biggest division in the first four commandments compared to the last six commandments is really the relationship. The first four commandments deal with our relationship to God. The last six, what we're starting this morning, deal with our relationship and our responsibility to our fellow man. And it's interesting whenever you think of it that way. If you're in Matthew chapter 22, it's interesting when you think of it that way to see what the Lord said about it whenever he was questioned on what the greatest commandment was. Look in Matthew 22, look in verse number 36. Back up to verse 34, just to kind of get the context here. It says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" Well, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the law. And they're wanting to know, Lord, you know, what's Jesus going to say? What's the greatest commandment? Well, look at what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Well, if you divide the law, the Ten Commandments, first table, second table, the first four commandments deal with loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And that is the greatest commandment, Jesus said. But then he alludes to the second table, the second division. He says in verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so you divide the moral law, the Ten Commandments, into two. You've got loving the Lord thy God with all the heart, all the soul, and all the mind in the first four commandments. You've got loving thy neighbor as thyself in the last six commandments, the second table. And so that's what we'll be starting preaching today and dealing with this second table. And Jesus alluded to it as the second great commandment, loving our neighbor as ourselves. And it's our duty, it deals with our duty to ourselves and to one another. And so we're looking at the fifth commandment, which deals with our duty or the duty of children to their parents. Now, it's interesting. I feel like God puts everything in the order that He wants it in. I don't think He just threw out the Ten Commandments at random. I mean, seems like they kind of build on one another. And it's interesting that whenever the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, shifts from dealing with our relationship and our responsibility to God to dealing with our responsibility and our relationship to our fellow man, the very first thing He mentions is the duty of children to parents. The very first one. Now, when He was talking about our responsibility to God, the very first thing that He mentioned was having no other God before Him. Because all the other commandments flow from that commandment. Isn't that right? You won't have any of the other ones right if we have any God before Him. And by the way, He's talking to His people there, by the way. Amen? Talking to His people. And so we've got to have that one right. But then when He shifts, talking to our responsibility, our fellow man, the very first one He mentions is honoring thy father and thy mother. I think it speaks of great importance. It lets us know that it's the first one He'd mentioned. We better make sure we've got this one right. I believe, and I think I could check the Bible and prove this, I believe that much of the morality and the direction of our society, the stability of our society, hangs on children, obey your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Amen? I tell you, we are living in a world today that worships and imitates youth. They worship and imitate youth. And speaking of imitating youth, I've never in my life seen so many women that are, I'm talking grown, well, men too, men and women both, but it seems like it's been a lot more ladies lately, grown women in their 40s and 50s that have married and have children and even grown children, some of them, and teenage children at home that will up and lose their minds and leave their family and go back to this party lifestyle that they had when they were a teenager and in their you know, college days. And it's like they want to relive all these days. And just up and leave. I mean, a good, solid family life, husband that loves them, good kids, you know, good home, nice cars. I mean, got everything you would think that the world has to offer, so to speak. I mean, as far as the American dream is concerned, and out of nowhere will just seem to lose their mind and up and want to go relive the glory days of their youth. Because we are in a society that worships youth and wants to imitate youth. You look now, most of the preachers, so-called preachers in America now, look like and dress like 16-year-old kids while they're preaching to, you know, on the platform. These goofball preachers running around in their V-neck sweaters and necklaces and perms, imitating youth. They want to identify with the youth. If they only knew how stupid they looked and how embarrassing they were. I mean, you know, but that's our society. They worship and imitate youth. But see, that's very different from the Bible. Very different from what the Bible glories in and honors. We're in a society today that pushes assisted suicide and euthanasia to eliminate the unwanted in our society. Those that are viewed as holding society back and those that are viewed as unwanted anymore. We live in a society today with children that will grow up with parents that have loved them and nurtured them and rocked them in the wee hours of the night and changed their dirty diapers and worked all their life to take care of them and raise them and be good to them. And then the children will grow up and the first sign of trouble in their parents, they want to put them somewhere for somebody else to take care of them. when they've spent their lives taking care of them and raising them. Amen? And that's the society we're in. A self-centered society that cares about self and cares about me. By the way, children don't want to take care of their parents, and folks don't even want to have children because they don't want to have children to take care of. People are so concerned with themselves. Amen? And isn't that the original sin? Isn't that what got Satan kicked out of heaven to begin with? The sin of pride. The sin of self. But that is our society. The Bible says to honor your father and your mother. And boy, that sounds mighty old-fashioned this day, don't it? You know? They used to say, respect your elders. I can't even remember the last time I heard somebody say that before right now. Hearing myself say it, you know. And that was a common thing that parents would teach their kids, and that would be ingrained in the young children. Respect your elders. Amen? Hey, listen here, buddy. Back whenever I was younger growing up, I know I'm still young, but whenever I was growing up, even through the 90s, if all the people we were around, if there's a boy there, a young boy was to call his daddy old man, he'd be picking himself up off the floor. You never referred to your daddy as my old man. That's right. Never. Hey, that's a common thing now, though, man. You hear it all the time. My old man this, my old man that. That's it, yeah. My old lady this, the old lady that. Our society was always taught to respect your elders. That's a far cry from where we are now. We sound like something from... like way on back whenever we start talking this way. But it's still King James Bible, amen? And if we, as God's people, are going to be right, we're going to have to do this, amen? We have to respect and honor our father and our mother. So, also, this thing of honoring father and mother, you know, it's a sign of the last days where we are. You look around and all this chaos in society, you see who's carrying on most of it. Most of it's the youth. Teenagers and folks in their early 20s. I mean, young, but you look on the news. Don't watch two of it because, I mean, it'll get you depressed and get you all messed up. But you just see the clips of all the BLM protests. You know who's out there doing it? Bunch of 20-year-old kids, never had a job, ought to be home getting their tail tore up, out there burning buildings and raising Cain. It's a bunch of teenagers and kids doing it. It's the youth. It's the youth. You know what it is? They are not honoring their father and their mother. Amen? It's a sign of the last days, too. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, you know what it says. He's talking about the last days. He says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. We've already talked about that. They'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. That's a pretty rough crowd. I mean, a blasphemer, someone that would blaspheme God, what's the very next thing he says? Disobedient to parents. Tied right in with blasphemers and covetous and boasters. Matter of fact, he says disobedient to parents. Then he says unthankful, unholy. Right in there with disobedient parents. And he's talking about the last days. The verse before, that's 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, verse 1. He says, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he goes to describing the perilous times. All these things we're seeing right here, that's the description of what makes the last days perilous. You know one thing that is making these last days as dangerous and as perilous as they are? It's the fact that we've got an entire generation of people that have grown up and they do not honor their father and their mother. They are disobedient to their parents. Amen. Now, let me say this. There is a degree of responsibility on the parents in this, I do believe. We as parents have the responsibility to give our children something that is honorable. Give them something to honor. A lot of young people have grown up in a real tough position where maybe they got saved or maybe they got in church, maybe some church on, you know, had a bus ministry, started picking them up and bringing them to church, and they started getting preached to and they got saved, and they've got a terrible, terrible home life, and they don't have anything really to honor when it comes to their parents. And I tell you, that's a really, really tough situation, but God can bless in that. God can work in that. God can work all that stuff out. But I'm just saying that we put our children in a very, very difficult situation spiritually when we don't give them something to honor. Amen. And so may God help us as parents to give our children something to honor. Let me say this too. Honor thy father and thy mother. There is no cutoff age for this commandment. He just said, honor your father and your mother. He didn't say, do it till you're this age, or do it till you're out on your own, or do it till this or that. He just simply said, honor your father and your mother. That is everyone here this morning. That is even those of us that have parents that have passed away can still honor our father and our mother. And I'll deal with some of that here in just a little bit. But it's a sign of the last days, and boy, this really needs to be preached in this day, does it not? Would to God that He'd give us a generation of preachers that would hail forth the Word of God to help this next generation to honor their father and mother. They might be blessed. Amen. They might be blessed by God. Amen. God's people, even though we're in a society that worships and imitates youth, God's people, all through the Word of God, were taught to respect age and care for the aged and parents. Amen? You're in Exodus 20, the very next chapter, Exodus 21. Look in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." God told His people under the law that if a child smites, that is, hits his parents, that child is to be put to death. That's serious, ain't it? Well, that lets me know God takes this thing very seriously. Look at the next two verses, verse 17. It says, "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." So if a child smites his father or his mother, or even curses his father or his mother, Bible says, put them to death. God said under the law, they were to be put to death. That lets us know that God takes this thing seriously. Amen? By the way, it's also, I know I mentioned us parents having the responsibility of giving our children something to honor, something honorable. It's also our responsibility as parents to train our children to honor their father and their mother. Amen? It's our responsibility. See, what our children, especially when they're small, like when they're the size of my boys and they're small coming up, size of Everly, especially when they're that small, it's never too early to start training them. Y'all know that, right? Ain't it? It's never too early. Because what we are instilling in them as parents now is a sense of authority. See, I am their earthly father. And God wants me to train them to respect and honor and heed to the authority of their earthly father. That way, when their heavenly father comes calling, when their heavenly father starts dealing and starts stirring, they'll immediately respond and immediately obey and immediately do what their heavenly father wants to do. That's why, getting back to these perilous times, these disobedient to parents, that's why it's so perilous, because of, you know, disobedient children. A disobedient generation, they have no respect for any authority. If they won't obey their parents, they won't obey the police. They won't obey the laws of the land. And they sure won't obey God. Amen? And God takes this thing seriously. Leviticus 19, verse number 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." The hoary head is the head that is gray or white with age. That's what it is. That's what it is. And He says, rise up and before that head and honor it and respect it. And it's directly connected to the fear of God, and it's directly connected to the respect of God. Amen? Deuteronomy 27, verse 16. "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen." Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 16, 31. "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." Now the hoary head, the head that is gray or white with age, it's not always a crown of glory. It's a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Amen? Amen? And that's what the Bible says. You know, there's a lot of dirty old men out there. And there's a lot of grouchy old people that hate God out there. Amen? But if it be found in the way of righteousness, it is a crown of glory, the Bible says. Amen? Hey, I thank God for the older men and the older generation of men of God and women of God that I was able to sit at their feet and am still able to sit at their feet in this day. Amen? Because they've seen things I haven't seen, and they've been down roads we haven't been down. They've experienced things we haven't experienced. They give us a lot of wisdom. They can help us and bless us, and God's still using them in this day. Amen? Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness, the Bible says. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Amen. I tell you, God takes this thing of honoring the father and the mother seriously. You cannot be right with God and be wrong with your parents. I don't care how young or old you are. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 55 years old. You cannot be right with God and wrong with your parents at the same time. Amen? Now this commandment here, the fifth commandment, it involves a few different things, and I want to point those out to you this morning, and then we'll be done. First of all, the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. It involves respect. One man said it's having an inward esteem of them outwardly expressed. That is, you esteem them, you love them, and you express it on the outside. Amen? Now, according to the Bible, parents are the authority in the home. Should be given due respect of that authority. Amen? That's it. Going to answer to God for it. And so children are to obey and respect the authority given unto parents. A lot of young people that claim to be saved and they are outright rebels to the core whenever it comes to the authority, especially the authority in the home, I question their salvation. Now, there's no doubt all of us get a little rebellious every now and then, and all of us buck against authority every now and then and have trouble with things. I mean, how many times you heard preaching that was hard to swallow? I mean, that's happened since you've been saved, but if you're saved and you're right with God, God works that thing in your heart and you get it right at some time, ain't that right? But the ones that are outright rebels to the core and they rebel against everything and they will not get right, hey, I question their salvation. Amen? Because they are the authority and they're God-given authority. So it's respect. In dealing with respect, children ought to fear their parents. Leviticus 19, verse 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother and father. That's what God told His people under the law. And then you ought to reverence your parents. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We gave them reverence. You ought to fear. That fear deals with respect. Respect and reverence them. You ought to highly esteem and reverence your parents. You say, but they're not right with God. They're not living for God. God never said anything about that. He just said, honor your father and your mother. And if you know, there are certain situations where you maybe can't do it in the way you would like to, or do it maybe even the way God planned to, but as God's people, we ought to always do our very best to honor father and mother, even whenever they're lost parents. Amen? The contrary to respect, the opposite of respect, would be to mock a parent or despise a parent. Listen to what Proverbs 30, verse 17 says. It says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, I don't know that that necessarily means that a raven is literally going to come pick out your eye if you mock or despise your parents. But I do know this. The Bible's letting us know that there's severe judgment for somebody that would mock and despise parental authority. Amen? So, the first thing it involves is respect. But then, it also involves obedience. And this is probably what's most commonly thought of when we think of this commandment. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The end of chapter 5 and the first of chapter 6 is probably the most common verses in terms of Bible order for the home. Lays it all out there. And the very first of chapter 6, it shifts from dealing with the marriage relationship to parental relationship. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Amen, it's right. "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth." That is, children, obey your parents. Come when they call you. Go where they send you. Do what they bid you. Refrain from what they forbid you. And this as children, cheerfully and from a principle of love. He said, obey your parents in the Lord. That's the principle. The principle is, I'm doing it for the glory of God. And then he says that it may be well with thee. He says it's the first commandment with promise. Now, it wasn't the first commandment, but it's the first commandment with promise. The first commandment where God promised to give you something if you'll do it. Amen? Now, in Exodus 20, that's the Old Testament, and God's given that law to Israel. Isn't that right? To govern them in the land of Canaan. And whenever He gives that commandment in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So God's giving them that commandment and telling them, obey this commandment lest you lose the land. I'm giving you the land, obey this commandment or you'll lose the land. And we know that they did not obey the commandment and they did lose the land. That's it. He scattered them. They also wound up in captivity, you know, different times. I mean, they lost the land because they did not obey the commandment. However, you get over on New Testament ground and the promise changes. It's not just about staying in the land anymore. It's about God's promise to give you long life if you'll honor and obey your parents. And that's a promise. That's what He said. And so, it's the first commandment with promise. Now, you may say, well, my parents, they've told me to do things and I've not done them. I've not done what I should, not always. And none of us have ever always done what we should. But you know what we ought to do whenever that happens? Ought to do like that servant or that son in Matthew 21. Where the father tells him to go to the field and he says, we will not. But he later repented and went. And then he had the son that he told to go and the son said, okay, I'll go. But he never went. And then Jesus asked the question of the one sitting there. He said, now which one did the will of the father? And they said the first one. The first one that even though he said, I will not, he repented and later went. You know, the best thing to do whenever you've gotten cross with your parents and gotten cross even with the things of God and you've said, I will not, is to repent and go. Repent and do the will of the Father. Amen. So it involves obedience, but then it also involves submission. Submission. Especially, you know, young people, teenagers, I guess really any time of life, really. I mean, it's a really good idea, even from a practical perspective, to submit for most people, most young people. Not all of them, but most of them. It's a good idea to submit to parents' rebuke, to their instruction, to their correction. Even practically speaking. Listen, parents have been down the road. They know a whole lot more than you think they know. Amen. I remember as a young person, or as a teenager, you know, you always think you've got it all figured out. When you're young, you think you've got the bull by the horns. You think you've got it all figured out. And many times you despise instruction and despise rebuke, despise correction. But I tell you, God's command, honoring the father and the mother, it involves submission to those things from parents. But then it also involves approval. You and I, all of us, would be wise to govern our life by parents' advice, by parents' direction, and by parents' consent. Parents' consent. You know, the worst thing I believe that a young person could ever do, one of the worst things they could ever do, is marry somebody that their parents do not consent to. Be in a relationship that their parents do not consent to. do things their parents do not consent to. That's one of the most dangerous, dangerous, dangerous things. It's going off in our own direction against parental consent. We ought to seek our parents' approval for our lives. Amen? And most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, what a parent approves of in a child's life, especially if it's a good parent who loves the Lord, loves their kids, most of the time what that parent approves of in that child's life is going to be good and it's going to be right and it's going to be what God wants. Amen? Approval. But then, also it involves comfort. Now, in regards to this commandment, again, there's no age limit on it, but Jesus mentioned this commandment one time, and He mentioned it particularly speaking and pointing out old age, honoring father and mother in their old age. I want you to turn over and look in Matthew chapter 15. I want you to see a verse over here. Matthew 15, look in verse number 4. Tell you what, back up to verse 1, let's get the context of it. Then came to Jesus the scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But He answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you. So what's happening here, those scribes and those Pharisees, another part of the, I think it's in the book of Mark, the same mention of this, you know, this situation here in the book of Mark, it mentions the word Corban. What happens is these scribes and these Pharisees ought to be obeying what God said. But instead, they exalted their traditions over what God said. And instead of honoring their father and their mother, and taking care of their parents, what they would do was, whenever their parents got to a certain age where it was time for their children to start taking care of them and blessing them and being good to them, they would say that word Corban, or they would say, like he said in that passage, it is a gift. In other words, what they would say is, all my belongings, everything I have, my life and all that is a gift to the work of God. I've given it to the work of God. Therefore, I can't use it to take care of you. I've given it to the work of the Lord. It's a gift to the temple, and it's a gift to the work of the Lord. There, and then they wouldn't take care of their parents. They would say it was a gift of the Lord, but then they would use it for themselves. And it was all tradition that they had built up. They'd built up this tradition, and all it really was a way of them getting out of being a blessing to their parents. Now, could a child really get more wicked than that? I mean, really. I mean, in my opinion, it's hard to think. But really, in our society, we see that all the time, man. Children do everything they can to get out of honoring their father and their mother. And I believe this deals with comfort. Jesus mentions them caring for their parents, particularly when they're aged. We ought to always endeavor to make old age easy on our parents. Listen, do any of us think that the young ones especially here, you think your parents want to get old? The older ones, raise your hand if you're really thankful and glad you're like getting older and your body's falling apart. Gideon's got his hand back up there. Yeah, what a blessing. You think your parents want to get old? But it happens. It's going to happen. One man said it's the only club that people are trying to get into because they don't want the alternative. It's the club nobody wants to be in, but everybody's trying to get into because they don't want the alternative. You think your parents want to get old? You think they want to get to the point where they have to be taken care of? Nobody wants that. I remember Brother Mac being here, and him always talking about never wanting to get to the place where he couldn't go. And I think, and we've talked about it here, and I think I even mentioned it whenever I preached his funeral, at the grace of God. That was grace, man. The way Brother Mac went, buddy, that was grace. Man, he always prayed. He never wanted to get to the point where he couldn't go, you know. And, buddy, he was wide open until the day he went, you know, going to preach that morning. That's exactly the way he wanted it, man. You think anybody wants to get to the point where they have to be taken care of and they have to, you know, they can't go? Nobody wants that. Yeah. You want to come finish preaching this message? You can probably help me with it. Nobody wants that. But let me ask you this. You think they want to change your dirty, nasty, stinking diapers whenever you're a kid either? You think they want to get out of that warm bed whenever you're up screaming in the middle of the night, sick? You think they want to spend all them waking hours taking care of you? I tell you right now, they did it because they loved you. And I do it for my boys because I love them, but I don't want to a lot of times. Here, a couple weeks ago, Judah, I put him to bed after about 5 helpings of mac and cheese. I had never seen a kid eat so much mac and cheese. And about midnight that night, he couldn't keep it all down either. You think I want to get in there and clean that kid up whenever you open the door and the smell hits you as soon as you walk in the room? No, I didn't want to. I did it because I love him. And by the way, my mama did all that stuff for me because she loved me. And you did all that stuff for your kids because you love them. And may God help me to honor her, honor my parents when they're in their old age, having to deal with things and do things they don't want to. Having to put up with things they don't want to put up with. You think Brother Ernest wanted to put up with 2 hip replacements? That wasn't fun, was it? Wasn't enjoyable. But it's just the way it is. Just the way it is, man. We get old, our bodies wear out. May God help us to honor our father and our mothers. Amen. You know what I think? You know what I think would set a revival in the modern church of America today? What I mean, when I say the modern church, I mean like the church of a day. I'm talking about our good, solid churches in today. You know what I think might would kick off revival in a lot of them? If some children were to get right with some parents, and some parents get right with some children, some children walk across the aisle to some parents and hug their neck and say, I hadn't always been what I should be. I hadn't always been a child I should be. And I hadn't honored you like I should. I want you to know I'm sorry. I need to get right and I ought to honor you like I should. Or some children in a church service whose parents aren't even there, call them up and say, Mom or Dad, I know you ain't heard from me in a while, but I want you to know I'm sorry. I ain't honored you like I should. I ain't always been the son. I ain't always been the daughter that I should. Brother Ernest just said it. When that's done from the heart, I believe with all my heart, God will get the blessing. People get things right. See, Jesus said one time, he talked about bringing an offering and remembering that you've got aught with your brother and leaving the sacrifice there and going getting right with your brother, then come back and give sacrifice. The problem is, we try to give a lot of sacrifice, try to offer a lot of sacrifice and offer a lot of things and service and worship and all those things when we've got aught with our brothers. We ain't got some of this stuff right. We've not got the love thy neighbor as thyself right. And so God's not going to bless the offering. He's not going to bless the sacrifice. He's not going to bless the worship. And all those things, he's not going to bless that whenever we've got this thing all, got the spiritual line all plugged up. It involves comfort. Now I want to point out one last thing here. In Exodus 20, there was a promise in that command. Now, I mentioned this already. He said that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So he mentions in the land. That command is to the children of Israel, you know, that obey this to stay in the land that I've given you. But if you back up to verse number 2, He doesn't mention the land. He doesn't mention staying in the land that he's given them. He mentions bringing them out of the land of Egypt. He said, I am the Lord thy God. Verse 2, I have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, what gets us out of Egypt? What gets us out of the world? The first four commandments. Having our relationship with God right. Being reconciled to God. That's what gets us out of Egypt. That's what gets us out of the world. Out of the house of bondage. And that's what he says there. I am the Lord thy God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's why you need to do these things. But then it changes. And it's not what gets us out of Egypt, but rather what gets us into Canaan. The first four commandments get us out of Egypt. The last six commandments get us into Canaan. Well, Canaan's not heaven. Canaan's the promised land. It's the land of victory. That's it. Victorious Christian living. What gets us into Canaan, though? The last six commandments. Getting our relationship with everyone else right. Amen? And so, it's possible that we might be out of Egypt, but we're not in Canaan because we haven't honored our father and our mother. And I believe with all my heart. See, the world and all the influence of the world has infiltrated churches and infiltrated young people in churches. And that's why I'm always preaching. I know y'all probably feel like I harp on it. Media and entertainment and music. You know why? Because all that stuff is saturated in being disobedient to parents. It teaches children to rise up against parents. Most all modern music today promotes hating your father, hating your mother, hating your parents, promotes rebellion. And that stuff has infiltrated our churches and gotten into the hearts of young people. And I believe with all my heart, we'd see revival if we get that thing right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that you'd bless us. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to line ourselves up with your word, Lord, to do what you'd have us to do. And Lord, I pray for that one that might be here this morning, that a spirit of conviction set into their soul, Lord, that you would cause them and help them, Lord, to respond to the word of God, do what you would have them to do. Lord, not even just coming to an altar, but Lord, getting things right. Lord, getting things right with their father or their mother or their child. Lord, doing what you would have them to do, that you might bless us, that we might see revival in these days, that we might see your blessings upon us. I pray, oh God, that you would help us, Lord, to honor our father and our mothers in these days. Bless now on the altar call, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all